Hi, I'm Tara Lynn of Geek Saga Entertainment, here with my co-host Manny for a newish episode concept that we're calling Media That Made Us Cringe. This particular concept will probably be a one-time mini-series. Essentially, it's based on our 90s and noughties Cringe Factor series, but at least for what we'll be covering in this mini-series of episodes, it has a touch of that media that made us feel, for me anyway, which I did explain some in the first episode of this little mini-series.
So I'm Manny, and for this Media That Made Us Cringe episode, we're continuing with the fourth Twilight series movie, Breaking Dawn Part 1, based on approximately the first half of the fourth Twilight series book by Stephanie Meyer.
As stated in our previous Twilight series discussions, these books and movies are so famous slash infamous that we don't think we need to summarize anything. And yes, while this series is media that made us cringe, we totally understand that there are tons and tons and tons of people out there who really love these books and or these movies. And we are very much in the love what you love camp. We just don't love these ones. And so, hence this series. Anyway, I wanted to kick this episode off by talking about how when they announced that the single novel, because it is one book, Breaking Dawn would be split into two movies, I was very much exasperated about it and assuming it was just a cash grab. I mean, some of this is definitely part of like, I don't like these books anyway. So now I have to see two parts of this movie, because it was like a thing with my sister and I where we would both go get drunk and see these movies in theaters. I still think that both this movie and part two are kind of bloated. Both of them could definitely use some cuts, but rewatching them back to back as I have done this past week, I'm a bit more understanding of the choice to have a part one and part two for these movies. But I don't know, Manny, I know you haven't gotten around to watching part two yet, but what are your feelings?
Definitely bloated. The only thing I wanted to break was wind in this movie. It was definitely bloated. Yeah, I haven't seen the second one, so maybe it'll make sense when I see the second one. But I just felt like so much of this movie was, I don't know, obviously it was filler, but I don't know. A lot of it was just like fan service stuff, it felt like, where it's just like, oh, okay, let's have another long shot with these two people in it, you know,
feel like this one had fan service. Wait till you get to the next one.
Oh, God.
But also, like, it's, I don't even know if it's so much fan service for the fans as it was fan service on Stephanie Meyer's part for Edward and Bella.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we will begin our discussion with our usual cringe factor list of 10 things we hate about this movie. Then we are pulling from our Media That Made Us format to talk about bling sites, aka any personal insights we gleaned from watching Twilight. And this section is called bling sites because I heard some Twilight fans refer to the vampires in the series as the blings, and I find that amusing. We will also rate it on a cringe factor scale of 1 to 10 spark dolls before concluding with our watch slash read slash play please anything but this suggestion for the episode. But before we get started, you can follow me and therefore all of the Geek Saga endeavors at A Geek Saga on Blue Sky Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube.
And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Mendissimo Art.
Just a couple quick house cleaning items before we dig in. We of course want to say thank you so much for listening to our show, and also mention that we could really use some more ratings, especially on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and would super very much greatly appreciate it if you could take a moment to mark the Geek Saga podcast 5 stars wherever you're listening. Last but hopefully not least, we would love for you to check out the Geek Saga Entertainment Patreon. We have a lot of tiers with just $3 per month getting you the most prevalent perk of early access to podcast episodes. Check it out at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment.
And now it's time for the 10 things we hated about this movie. First up is Ultimate Emo Edward. Dude, literally the night before his wedding, Edward finally, you know, decides to tell Bella the worst thing about himself. That being that he was a bad vampire because he killed people at one point in his vampire life. Y'all, he reads the mind of terrible men and only killed them as they were about to do terrible things to other people. For sure, we're supposed to assume killing people. But in my honest opinion, other nasty things were implied too.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think these were just murderers. I think they were other things too.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And Bella points out that, you know, the important part of his story, that they were all murderers and that he probably saved more lives than he took. But Edward can't stand this conclusion and insists the murderers I killed were still human, Bella. Look, I feel like this was a big cop out writing wise. I would have appreciated it more if he was just a bad guy. And now he's like on the road to redemption. And I think that would have made a much more interesting character dynamic as like a character arc than because it's just too convenient. It's like, yeah, I was killing people, but they were bad people. So that's okay. It was just one of those, like, I don't know. I just feel like it was a cop out for it. And like, I think it would have, like, if he was just a straight up bad guy, like a killer, they could have made it a really good, interesting backstory, but like in the first or second movie, not here at the end.
Yeah.
That was one of those things that kind of drove me nuts about the ending, the Battlestar Galactica, is that they threw in all this backstory literally in the last few episodes. And it's like, guys.
Yeah, we talked about that when we covered Battlestar in our first Media That Made Us set of episodes. And for this one, it just makes no sense to me. And not only, like you said, would it have made more sense story-wise for it to come up earlier, but also, Edward, you have been begging Bella to marry you. And now the night before your wedding, when she says she has no cold feet, you're like, well, wait a minute, but there's more.
There's more.
Tell her what you think is the worst thing about yourself, which is kind of nothing. Like, listen, I'm not going to say that I am going to get behind killing people or anything, but this is one of those weird filler nonsense things that I feel like they only inserted it because it's in the book. But when you're making movies of even the most beloved book series or books, period, you can cut some stuff out and it can still be okay. There are movies that are better than the books. To be honest, I can only think of two off the top of my head, The Notebook and P.S. I Love You. But listen, it happens. And even sometimes if the movies aren't better than the books, they do make good decisions about removing things. And this really could have been one of them. It was a silly conversation. We've heard some of Edward's backstory already. We don't need to know that at one point he walked away from Carlisle and killed people as a vampire, blah, blah, blah. Ugh. Dumb.
And to be bringing it up like on the night before the wedding, it's like, maybe this is something you should have brought up beforehand.
I mean, I get wanting to come clean about something before you marry someone, but would you really go to somebody the night before you're going to get married and tell them this thing that you personally think is going to end your relationship or stop them from marrying you? It's just dumb. It's bad and it's dumb and I hate it.
No, I feel like Stephanie Meyer was probably writing this and was like, oh, wait a minute. This is too almost halfway happy. We can't have this. We need to have some more angst and some more darkness. Oh, by the way, I used to kill people. Like, of course you did. You're a fucking vampire, you know? Like, of course you fucking did. It's part of the fucking appeal, I guess, you know, for Bella or whoever else are into fucking vampire people.
Vampire people. Well, okay. Don't worry, though. They do still get married, which gives us our number two thing that we hate. Oof. Awkward wedding speeches are awkward. I'm sorry, was this just a wedding speech free-for-all at their wedding? Because otherwise, why is Jessica, of all people, giving a speech? And also, there were other people that I understand giving speeches. Charlie, Renee, Esme. I can't remember if Carlisle did, but which is crazy because I literally just watched this like a day or two ago. Emmett, you know, makes sense. And it also makes sense, some of the people that didn't. Like, I feel like, obviously, Rosalie wouldn't because she doesn't like Bella or really Edward all that much. And I don't think Jasper is the speech type either. I think he would have gotten up there and just been like, humans, blood, staring wide-eyed. But even the ones who made sense-giving speeches, it was all awkward.
It was. That was a very cringy wedding. Really, it shouldn't have been because there was apparently this buildup for the past, you know, 6 hours or whatever to get to this fucking point in the fucking series. But no, this is a classic example of why I've just never been fans of like weddings. Like, they really like reiterated that for me to where I'm like, oh God, this is so fucking cheesy. It's just like whoever planned this wedding are the same people who do like, what are the parties called when you're having a baby? Baby like showers.
Gender reveals too.
Yeah, like, and it's just like, ugh, this is what it reminds me of, you know? And it's just, this is one of those weddings that I would have gone to where there would have been no alcohol allowed, and I would have been sneaking in alcohol or running to my car and taking about 7 shots and then walking back in again, because there's certain things you can't do sober, and this wedding is one of them.
Yeah, like Renee singing and everybody is just like, Charlie giving a speech about how he owns guns.
Yeah,
the time for that speech is never, let's be real.
But yeah,
the time for those sort of like weird threats and stuff was early on in the relationship. Should you be dating my daughter? Do you deserve to date my daughter? I disagree with speeches like that at all, period, or with talks like that that dads have with their daughters, significant others, particularly boyfriends, mm-hmm. because it's just fucking patriarchal bullshit and takes away these young women's or femme people's agency. But
yeah.
Charlie, it is their wedding. Shut up.
Like,
and I love Charlie. Love Charlie so much, but this was a bad thing, a bad
look.
The whole thing was fucking awkward. And I watched this movie twice getting ready for this podcast. And I, both times I was like, no, make it stop.
This is exactly the wedding that I would have gotten alcohol poisoning at, because I'm just like, I can't do this. Speaking of talking that happens at this wedding, third up on our list is, well, everything about Jacob's appearance at the Bedward wedding. Okay, let me just stay on task here for a minute. Okay, honestly, we just can't with this. Yes, he's her best friend and also wanted him there and is actually, you know, cool with Edward and apparently, you know, facilitate Jacob showing up. But is it us or does Bella continue to act inappropriately around Jacob? Not being excited to see him or hugging him, not even essentially agreeing to dance with him, but she knows how Jacob feels about her. The way, you know, she dances with him has more than friend vibes, maybe, at least at some points. Their relationship is gross.
It's weird.
If I was Edward, I would have been gone in the first movie or second movie where I've been like, fucking see ya, bye. I'm going to be here for a long time in this world and I ain't dealing with that shit.
Well, I mean, and the thing is, it's not about Bella having a guy friend, okay? It's about her having a guy friend who is obsessed with her and doesn't want her to be with Edward. And it's constantly like trying to come up with ways to break them up or like or reasons why they shouldn't be together and why she should be with him. And he's been disappeared apparently for a while and came back just to show up at the wedding and have this very boyfriendy girlfriendy dance with her at her wedding. And oh my god, I can't, your last night as a human / it's not my last night conversation. Why are they talking about what's going to happen on Bella's honeymoon? Fine, Jacob is worried about Edward hurting or more likely killing Bella, but this conversation never should have started. She should have shut it down. She should not have responded to it. She should have just shrugged off his weird your last night as a human thing. But also, Jacob himself is hurting Bella as he's freaking out about this. He's not just emotionally hurting her by like freaking out and yelling at her and whatever. He is physically hurting her. She outright says he is hurting her when he grabs her. And then after he leaves, after he is forced to leave, she feels bad about being stupid enough to have that conversation that Jacob led her into. It's gross.
Jacob has done nothing like for himself. Like, he first showed up and it was like, all right, he just seems like a normal fucking kid, whatever. And as this shit progressed, I became so much more Team Edward as the show went on, because I'm like, dude, I get it. Shoot your shot. Like, whatever, dude. But now you're just being a dick.
Well, and also, again, him forcing a kiss on Bella the first time they kissed in Eclipse. And now he's grabbing her so hard that he's hurting her and she has to tell him he's hurting her. It's just...
No. The second he became very rapey in that last film, I was like, you know what? Sorry. I can't get behind that. He just comes off as like gross and awkward now at this point.
Well... Listen, it's not that Jacob had much to worry about anyway, because while Bella and Edward do consummate their relationship, what happens after they do so is definitely next up on our list. That being gestures. Is this abstinence porn? If you're listening to this as a podcast, which the vast majority of people will be, I am doing that anime meme where the guy is like holding out his hand and he's like, is this a butterfly? That's what I'm doing right now. Is this more abstinence porn? Because only in the Twilight world would someone have to beg their husband for sex on their honeymoon. Edward decides that they should not have sex anymore because she's bruised the morning after, even though she is consistently saying, this was the best night of my life. I loved it. Like, listen, also, some people really do like that, too.
They like that stuff.
Listen, rough sex it's not something I need or want all the time, but it can be great.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So obviously, as long as you're with a safe person and all that stuff, you know, I'm speaking of consensual rough sex, but that's what this was. And Bella's like, that was fucking amazing. Like, she wakes up and she's like, I lost my virginity.
Woo. Yep.
She's loving it. Kim McDonald's. She's having it.
Yeah, exactly.
And good for fucking her, because she's wanted this for a long time and Edward has been putting it off because they had to be married first. Now, first of all, let me ask you this. Some of those bruises, probably from the sex to sex, but she had some bruises on her arms where it looked like somebody had, I don't know, grabbed her with their hand on her arm. Mm-hmm. Were those even from Edward, or were those bruises from Jacob grabbing her?
Good point.
Because they looked a little bit, they looked a little bit older. Like, they didn't look like super fresh. These happened an hour or two ago or 3 hours ago or whatever. Bruises.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I mean, she does have other bruises and stuff like that. And the bed is broken. There's the pillows are ripped and feathers everywhere. But like, after he thinks that he has hurt her so bad and refuses to listen to her pleadings, like, no, you didn't. I am fine. This was amazing. He then spends like so much of their honeymoon trying to avoid having sex with her. He drags her around doing all these things. They even just sit around playing chess over and over again. He is trying to keep her too busy to, I don't know, try and seduce him, I guess.
Yeah.
Which she does try anyway. She even puts on all the lingerie that Alice packed for her that we know she never would have bothered with otherwise.
Yeah. I don't get it.
The abstinence porn.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, you guys are married at this point. Yeah. Like, it's all bets are off now. Now you can just have sex whenever you guys want to now. You know, like, why is you still being weird? And if you were able to control yourself after that first time, then just fucking whatever, dude. Maybe have a slow night, you know, and just take it easy, you know, and like, don't get rough. I just feel like, again, things were getting a little too happy right here. They were just getting a little too happy. We got to roll the angst truck back.
Or would you say the angst train, or possibly the angst even
train
boat?
Exactly. The angst train, you need to back it up on the angst boat so it can set sail. Okay. Because that's what was going on here. It's like, oh, wait a minute. This is a little too cheery. We can't do that. There has to be something that's like weird.
It couldn't just be that these two versions had sex for the first time.
Yep.
On their honeymoon, and maybe it just simply didn't turn out the way they wanted, or I don't know, which I guess in a way that was the case, but make it stop.
Yeah, dude. And you would figure for both those people, if they'd never done that before, they'd be like, oh shit, that was fucking wild. We should do it again. I'd have been bouncing off the walls all fucking day. Like, damn, we want to go for a sixth time today, you know, like whatever. You got to get it out of your system. You know, it's been 18 years or 109 years or however fucking long it was. I don't know. Awkward. That's all I got to say, is just awkward. Moving on to the fifth thing we hate, it's dun dun dun, Bella and the not so impossible pregnancy. Oh, I just, laughing my ass off, can't. Even like her touching her completely non-existent at the time pregnant belly, the line, I know it's impossible, but I think I'm pregnant.
Like, listen, I am pro-choice, whether that choice is for someone to not have the child or to have the child. It is your body and therefore your choice.
Yes.
So fine, whatever. Bella decides that the life of her child is more important than her own life. And the woman who comes to clean, I mean, she just says one word. I think she just says death, but it's very fucking clear that she knows Bella, this is going to kill Bella. And Edward knows it could probably, or would probably, will probably, whatever, kill Bella. Now, granted, Bella does have the possible slash probable option of being turned into a vampire while she is dying from having said child. It's not this like just straight up death sentence necessarily. Nobody knows, because none of the Cullens have any idea about this. But like, that is her choice. Only basically everyone, including Edward, is super mad at her about it, and constantly for the rest of this movie trying to figure out ways to take away that choice from her. At one point later in the movie, also later in this extremely short pregnancy, it's literally like a month. No, it's less than a month, because I looked it up. They got married on August 13th. Bella's birthday is September 13th. And they celebrate her birthday in the latter half of Breaking Dawn. So, later in this extremely short pregnancy, later in this month or less, Edward is yelling at her like, Bella, we're supposed to be partners, but you decided this on your own. Yeah, well, again, her body, her choice, dickhead. Yes, you're her husband and you are supposed to be partners. If she had lied to you about it or kept it from you, that's a different story in some ways, but it is still her body and it is still her choice.
Yeah.
Period, full stop.
And you shouldn't have been fucking without a condom if you thought that was going to happen.
Well, they didn't, though. They had no idea it could. They thought it was impossible. And listen, I get that, but would a condom have even worked? Like, would it have just touched his dick and, like, explode?
Probably. Who fuck? I'm sure they have vampire condoms, you know, or like, you know, rib for her undead pleasure or whatever, you know, like.
You know? Oh my god. Okay, well, all that said, hashtag not all call-ins, because Rosalie, yeah, of all people, is on Bella's side. Which, like, yeah, first of all, is it agency if Bella has to ally with someone who doesn't even like her in order to keep the baby? I don't know. I question, yeah, that. And, like, for real, Bella having to ally with Rosalie of all people to sort of have agency about this pregnancy, like, it just feels icky to me. Especially since Rosalie doesn't actually care about Bella. She only cares about the idea of the baby existing. We heard Rosalie's backstory in the last movie, and we know that she doesn't like Bella because she thinks Bella shouldn't choose to be a vampire because she personally wouldn't have chosen that. And some part of that is that she wanted to be like a wife and a mother. And it's like, sure, she can, I guess, be like a wife with Emmett, but she's never going to be a mother in the literal physical sense, or,
yeah,
probably be able to raise a baby, because what, you know, she could adopt a baby, then she's going to watch that baby die of old, that human baby die of old age, and I don't know, nobody's thinking anything through here. Fine, whatever. I hate this whole plot. I hate it so much. But, like, this book wouldn't exist without this plot. So I don't know what movie.
I just feel like I'm curious to see the second one now, right? Because at this point, it's like going to an autopsy. I already know it's dead, but I just want to find out what killed it at this point. Because this whole movie was literally the biggest nothing burger. I feel like the first three movies had a lot more impact and they were a lot more interesting than this movie. This is why really all of this should have maybe just been a long epilogue or whatever, and just been like, okay, this is the ending of the story and don't bring stuff in it. I liked the imprinting with the baby and all that stuff. Like, it made sense. That's cool. Okay, whatever. But I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like this movie could have been summed up in 20 minutes and, wow, I sat through like 2 hours of it.
Yeah, and I think this one might actually be longer than the next one too. But now for number six, which is Growly Wolf Fight is Growly. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Honestly, yeah, I cannot quite pinpoint why this whole scene made me really uncomfortable. It's all the Quaaludes in their wolf forms, and mm-hmm, they're talking to each other via their mind reading thing, and there's like they're constantly growling and snarling throughout it, and the voices are, I get the voices being kind of like echoey and stuff like that because they're trying to portray that it's mind reading. I didn't love how they did it in the movie, but in terms of the voices, but listen, I get it, you had to make some sort of choice, I guess. But I don't know, like, maybe it's because I'm around dogs so much, and how I've seen like all this random snarly fighting, my dogs and other people's dogs. Sometimes it's in play and sometimes it's for real. And the addition of like an actual spoken conversation under / inside all the snarls and growls like throws me. I honestly don't know, but I just don't like it. And I also don't like the gist of the conversation, because while I get that they don't know what this thing is, quote unquote thing is, that Bella's carrying, or rather what it could be, and that they have to protect their pack and their tribe, it seems just to be a very, very sudden, extreme turn of heart for the ones who decide that they need to kill the Van baby and apparently Bella and all of the Cullens with it. For Christ's sake, guys, take a breather.
This, out of all of the Twilight movies that we've watched going through them, whatever, this is single-handedly the worst scene out of all of them by far. I'm not even saying, oh, this is just a weaker scene. No. This was the worst scene out of the entire series so far by light years. Look, and we could have fixed this really easily. Put subtitles. That's it. They could have put subtitles, because you can't understand what a dog says. So to hear them like with their voices, and then they're like inflecting like they're still dogs and growling and like all this stuff, I just felt like I was watching like the dark episode of Paw Patrol here. It was so cheesy. It was so dumb. This was this was the first time
that Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
But do it dark.
But do it dark. Here it is. And it was just so cheesy, because I can't take a computer animated wolf seriously, like Jacob rising up and being like, no, I will protect her. I probably could have if it was subtitled, but because it had the voice there, it was so, I don't know, it was so uncomfortable. It was just like, this is really, that was cringe. I know we talk about this being like cringy movies. This was the apex of the cringe, was this one fucking scene. I was like, this is the cringiest shit I ever watched. This reminded me of like going to watch like Borat or something, you know, when you feel uncomfortable.
Yes, I'm not really an uncomfortable humor type of person either, so.
No, but that shit made me uncomfortable. And this made me feel more uncomfortable than that. I was like, there is something just off about this scene, and it is fucking terrible, terrible, terrible.
I will say one thing. Now I need Paw Patrol Twilight AU.
Yeah.
Paw Patrol / Twilight Shape Wolf or fan fiction.
Yeah. Dude, scene was fucking terrible, man. I was watching it late too, and I almost texted you later. I was just like, dude, what the fuck is this? This is horrible. It was so bad. Yes, so speaking of weird things we just can't get behind, that brings us to number 7. We think we're gonna be sick too, Jacob. AKA Yum Blood Shakes. So Jacob has a thought that the baby is looking for someone to sink its teeth into, and that leads to Edward deciding that Bella should just straight up drink some human blood. Also, like, how is a non-see-through cup really gonna make that much difference, honestly? And also, she has a bunch of blood in her, so I'm not quite sure what was going on there.
Yeah, I guess it's like, I can't remember if I'm remembering something in the books or if somebody in the movie suggests it, honestly, but I feel like they're like, well, the fastest way to get it into her bloodstream is for her to drink it. That's it's not really true, but I get it. Okay, fine. Like, vampires drink blood from humans or from animals in the Cullen's case. Mm-hmm. So fine, whatever. But then we have Bella looking like she just drank a bottle of cheap red wine or a red version of like blue raspberry Kool-Aid or something. Oh my God, wait. Just picturing like Edward as the Kool-Aid busting through the wall of the house.
Edward is just busting through. With this cup of blood.
Oh my God, but like the blood, it stains the inside part of her lips and her teeth, which we then have to look at. And
yeah, it's
honestly
gross.
Couldn't you / wouldn't you not at least lick your teeth before talking? I'm not squeamish, but this icks me out. It's not even the fact that she's drinking blood. It's that we have to see her sucking it through a straw, knowing it's blood. And then I could even deal with that. But then she talks and she's like, it tastes good. And she's like, it's almost like they made sure, like the director was like, okay, now, Kristen Stewart, make sure you show them that your teeth are covered with whatever, probably red dye corn syrup used shit that we're using. Make sure people see and know that you're drinking blood, because it's like all over the inside of your mouth and your teeth. Nobody needs that. We don't need that.
No, we don't. That was gross. It made me a little queasy. I was not a fan.
For the 8th thing we hate, we had to go with, I'm sorry, what was that? AKA, Edward can hear the baby now, so everything is totally copacetic. It is hilarious to think about how at first he probably thinks that he's hearing Bella's thoughts for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
They have super hearing. He knows she didn't physically speak. And he's like, oh, did I actually hear her thoughts? But then he realizes that it's the baby. And just eye roll over how Edward is like, I thought he was like me, but he's actually like you, good and pure. Which, okay, Bella is an arguably good person, but no one is or perfect, Edward. And this just goes back to the whole, my God, you, Edward, are really not that bad, especially as vampires go. And both of you shitting on yourselves constantly was old in the beginning of the series. Can we just get over harping on this shit, please?
Yep.
But also, apparently now that Edward has heard what the baby is thinking, which, I'm sorry, I've got question marks floating all around my head right now, because fetuses don't think, yes, this baby is fast growing, but it's still in her body, for fuck's sake. So now Edward has heard what the baby is thinking somehow, and he's now totally on the Bella Rosalie Van baby side of things, which fine, I guess that's good, I guess. But I don't know, maybe you could have just trusted the person you supposedly love from the beginning? I can't entirely place why I hate this. I guess I just do.
Yeah.
It's a very sudden change of mind.
Yeah, no, it is for sure. Not that everything is peachy keen from there on out, but very soon after Edward decides everything is going to be fine, we all have to suffer through the next thing on our list, that being, what the ever-loving fuck is that so-called birth scene?
Ugh. Honestly, I just have to chime in and be like, I was watching this and just actually crafting, tearing up while laughing at it. Anyway, Manny, go off.
Yeah, okay. Guys, they couldn't even see the vamp baby via ultrasound, but Rosalie really thinks she can cut it out with a scalpel. And then, of course, Rosalie is immediately like, ooh, Bella's blood, and has to be taken out of the room. Come on, come on. So Edward can't change her until the baby's out. Fine, whatever. But then has to bite into her to get the baby out because she has like super sack or whatever. But also him biting into her at all is going to lead to his venom in her system, which is going to change her based on what we saw in the first movie. So just why?
Yup.
And I guess this isn't technically part of the birth scene, but when Edward isn't sure if what he's already done, including injecting his venom, presumably directly into her heart, that's exactly what he did. That's one of those adrenaline shots that they shoot.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. Has been enough because she still seems to be dead. He just starts biting her all over. I'm sorry, but again, just what? It's like Stephanie Meyer.
Someone has some bite bit. And listen, hey, we do not kink shame. We kink ask why.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But also, why?
Again, this movie sucked.
I don't really have anything to add other than, again, like I said, I watched this movie twice preparing for this. And I tried so hard the second time, especially because the first time I was literally tearing up laughing at all the nonsense happening in this first scene. And the second time I was like, okay, Derek, come on, focus.
Yeah,
you can do this. You can pay attention to this and find something about it that's not absolutely insane and ridiculous. No, it's all insane and ridiculous and fine. Whatever, I guess. I don't know. I just don't know.
Like at this point in the movie, I was already just so frustrated because at least with the other movies, I don't know, there was some kind of vested interest in it to where I'm just like, well, okay, I just want to like see what happens. Not that I really cared about the way it ends. I was just like, well, I just want to, but this one, I just really didn't fucking care. I didn't fucking care. And this whole scene just went on for too long. And again, this, like I said, this entire movie could have been summed up in 20 minutes. And here we are making this one scene 20 minutes fucking long.
It was really long.
Yeah. And for me, it was already 2:30 in the fucking morning and I was fucking exhausted and I have to work at 8:00. And I'm just like, dude, I just want this thing to be over with already.
No, they drag out the whole end of this movie. They could have shortened so much of the first like 2/3 of this or 3/4 of this movie. They could have shortened the end quarter as well. But like they really could have made this movie at least 30 minutes shorter. It all feels dragged out. But weirdly enough, this end part, the birth scene, and some stuff that comes after, which we'll talk about a little later, it all feels like so much longer when it's supposed to be like, this is the climax. And it's like, oh God, just get it the fuck over already. Like, get the fucking vamp baby out of her super sack womb. I don't know how pregnancy works very much because I've never been pregnant. So I've never really thought about or cared about looking into all the details. Yeah. But I do know that they keep saying they can't like ultrasound it. Like you mentioned, they can't even see the baby because they can't see through like the armored. But first of all, if Zach is armored, then why is Bella fucking breaking?
Yeah,
none of this makes sense. It's horrible. I mean,
they could have just used, you know, a stethoscope to listen to the baby's heartbeat to make sure it was alive or something.
I mean, I'm guessing that wouldn't have worked either.
If they can hear people's hearts beating because of the blood, because they're vampires, they can certainly hear that.
Well, and Edward can't read Bella's thoughts, and the baby is inside Bella in a fucking super armored sack. How can he hear the baby's thoughts? None of it makes sense. Okay, whatever. Listen, we're gonna move on.
No stopping, nothing to see here. Just keep moving.
Okay, y'all, here we are. The 10th and final thing we hate from Breaking Dawn Part 1. Drum roll, please. Not Jacob imprinting on little resume. I mean, raspberry, Rasputin, rigatoni. Okay, no, but really, silly fandom names for this bebe aside, we already talked about the questionable aspects of imprinting in our Eclipse episode, but now we have to watch Jacob imprint on a literal infant and just shudder over what that means for both his future and hers. Just ew. I don't like it. I know you mentioned something about the imprinting earlier, but maybe you have different feelings about this than I do. But Jacob is literally about to go. He is about to try to take on Rosalie and go murder this baby. And then Rosalie happens to tilt the infant just right. And it looks up with its creepy face and creepy brown eyes. And mm-hmm. he looks into it and he just falls to his knees. And the whole rest of the movie, nothing that could possibly happen matters because Jacob is imprinted.
Yeah. So I don't know how imprinting works, I guess. They never really, I guess, really described it well. Is it just somebody you like, or is it somebody that you just naturally connect with? Is it just...
So earlier in this movie, there's like that beach scene with the Quaalude shapewolfers, mm-hmm. and Jacob has a conversation with Leah, and he basically says you lose like everything about yourself because all of a sudden your entire life is about this person that you've imprinted on. Now, I think in our, I don't know if it was our Eclipse episode, I made mention of like who you could possibly imprint on. I think I made a comment about possibly same-sex imprinting, but apparently it is always opposite-sex imprinting. Obviously, these books were written quite a while ago, quite a bit different back in the early 2000s. But if you're not straight and you imprint on somebody of the opposite, like, so then your entire life is devoted to this other person. And I don't know that. I don't even want to get into that. I don't want to get into that discussion because I have so many fucking thoughts about it that I'm like, so what does that mean for you? I would actually love to ask Stephanie what she, maybe I wouldn't actually, because she is like Mormon, though. Yeah. Maybe I wouldn't. I don't want to know. But yeah, so it is basically like your entire life is about that person and nobody and nothing else matters as much as that person mm-hmm. or ever will. She actually did an interview at one point, and this was, I actually read about it when I was looking up stuff for our Eclipse episode when we talked about imprinting 101. And I didn't talk about it in that episode because I didn't want to spoil anything for you, knowing you hadn't mm-hmm. seen this movie yet. But basically, if the person that they imprint on dies, then they literally cannot live. So yeah, this is not a healthily written
no thing. Yeah, no.
And also this whole idea, because actually in that beach scene, it's a super fast thing. So if you only watch this movie once and you've never watched it before and you've never read the books, you probably never even noticed. But one of Jacob's friends, Quill, imprinted on 3-year-old. And he's like, so what the fuck is his, I mean, he doesn't say fuck. What is his life going to be? Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like he spends however many years of his teenage years and early adult years, I think maybe even into his 30s, keeping her safe and being like, you know, a brother. Or an uncle or and a protector to her. But the whole idea is like eventually the person who's been imprinted on falls in love with you no matter what. Creepy. Like they have to. Yeah, I don't, it's not cool. It's not cool. And
I don't like it. Don't like it. It's just like arranged marriage bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like I can't deal with that.
Well, and also there's this whole like side thing. I can't remember if they say it outright. No, never mind. It's in the next movie. I'm not going to say it, but I don't care for it. Anyway, now that I've explained imprinting to you a little bit more, do you have any other thoughts on Jacob imprinting on a literal infant that also happens to be the daughter of his rival and his female best friend?
No, but if you look at it in like a weird, like metaphysical sense, maybe that had something to do with why Jacob was so into Bella. It's because she produced the child that he was going to imprint on. That's the best.
Oh, no. There are fandom thoughts and theories or whatever you want to call them about how like mm-hmm. Bella was always carrying around this egg. But that's not the case. We shed our eggs every fucking 28-ish days. Mm-hmm.
Give or take. But not that egg.
Oh, yeah.
That one is just in the back in storage. This movie is so badly written, dude. It's so bad.
Listen, it's based on a book. Is it the movie that's badly written, or is it just based on...
Somebody wrote something poorly. That's all I'm saying. I don't know who it was. Somebody did.
Oh, man. Okay. Well,
now that we've gone through all of that, it's time to talk about our bling sites, any personal insights we gleaned from watching Breaking Wind Part 1. Because that's what this movie made me do.
What is your first personal insight?
My insights on this is, again, I just felt like this didn't have to be one full movie on its own. This could have been like a shorter movie, or I don't know what's in the second movie. They could have just made a really long movie and just made this movie an hour and then made the other one 2 hours. I just feel like there was a lot of wasted time in this film, and it was like the whole big buildup that we all knew was coming, and it was just like, whatever. Jacob is extremely fucking creepy at this point. I have zero care about his character. I care more about Edward than I do Jacob, which is a huge statement for me to say, because I don't give two fucks about fucking Edward. You know what I'm saying? The only person that I'm vested in this entire fucking series is Alice. That's it. I want to see more Alice.
Yeah.
And I got stuck with fucking Edward and fuck Team Edward and Team Jacob. Well, they're both fucking creepy, dude.
Yes.
Okay,
exactly.
They're both not good for you.
I lived into my life like 17, 18 years ago when I read these books and I was like, wait, these are the guys that I'm supposed to choose between? The fuck is happening here?
Both
I,
fucking
not me
gross.
Personally, but you know, like if I'm to be a fan, which I never was, but if I was to be a fan, like Jacob is like, he's more palatable in the books for a long while, for a much longer time, but he does get icky in Eclipse and continues to be, because actually the whole Bella's pregnancy portion of Breaking Dawn is from Jacob's perspective. It's not told from Bella's perspective, which is, if you had any Team Jacob feelings reading those books and you are still somehow Team Jacob after reading the part of Breaking Dawn that's from his perspective, I would love to understand why. I have some random thoughts and some longer ones. My first random thought is, to each their own, I guess, but what the fuck was that hideous wedding dress? Alice is supposed to be like a fashion mogul, and that's the dress that she put Bella in.
It was just so fucking plain. I would have expected something a little more out there.
For Bella, I get it. Plain is great, but...
yeah, because she has no personality. Yeah.
The cut is weird. It's got these weird, like, lines kind of across her chest and under her... I don't know. It's just... it's ugly, whatever. I don't care. Her engagement ring is ugly, too. It is what it is. I also... I absolutely hated looking at Bella the whole, like, second half of this movie. Sorry, not sorry. Pregnancy freaks me out, as do seriously ill people. I mean, it's different when it's someone I truly know and care about. I still don't want to look at it. It still grosses me out. But like, it's different when it's somebody I know and care about. But strangers or on screen, no thank you. Never want to see it ever. And she looks so bad. Like, I get they have to do it for the movie, but especially that one scene where she's in front of the mirror looking at herself and she like kind of starts like removing the robe and Edward comes and you can see just everything and do not want. And then at the very end, it shows her like filling out again. And then it's all quiet and it focuses on her perma makeup and her eyes suddenly open. Like that very last bit, I think might be okay. Like, I think I might like the eyes. I like how it ends. That very last moment where her eyes open and they're just red and that's how it ends, because it leaves you hanging a little bit, but the rest of it is just fucking silly. Her laying on the table, it literally like shows her hair like filling out and her boobs filling out. And like, I guess I get that they wanted to show her going from this wasted away, having just birthed a vamp baby body to her perfect vampire body. But I don't know. It's cheesy. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about this. Did you have any thoughts about that?
So the end scene with that, with the eyes opening, it reminded me, what popped in my head was, I don't know if you remember like the Matrix, the second one, not Revolutions, Matrix Reloaded, right? So Agent Smith is a computer program, and then he eventually adopts like a human body to somebody who is in, you know, in the real world, not in the Matrix. So there's a scene at the end where like, I think it was like Neo or someone is on the medical bed. And then they're like, oh, I don't know, there was only like two survivors out of this thing. And it pans over and it's the other guy. And you're like, oh shit, that's Agent Smith coming into the real world. That's what this scene made me think of. But this scene was like 10 times stupider than that. It was like the Wish version of that. Like the way I felt was like the Wish
Temu version of that.
And again, I think what probably pissed me off the most about this movie is that I think this movie had a lot of potential. There was a lot of stuff they could have done with this movie, but they didn't, because they wanted to be greedy and they turned it into two movies. You should have just made the last movie an extra long movie, 3-hour movie, and had it more like continuous or whatever. Put the intermission right as she becomes vampires, everyone can use the bathroom. I don't know. I just felt like it was dumb.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to hear your take on that once you've watched the second movie, for sure. Now, something positive, Seth the Shape Wolfer is amazing. That is all. He is up there with Alice as a fave for me. He is great. I mean, he's the one who takes Jacob's side. Well, first of all, first, before he even takes Jacob's side in the whole Bella pregnancy renameable thing, he is at their wedding because he's like buddies with the Colin. He's like friends with Edward. And he's just like, hey, hi, I'm here. I'm Seth and I'm so young and cute. And I like him a lot. I like him a lot. Now, my last thought. My God.
I'm with you on this one.
Both of the names Bella chooses for the baby are absolutely terrible. EJ, you're going to name your son after your husband's love triangle rival? I mean, yes, Edward is yeah. the first name, but Edward Jacob.
Terrible. Fucking terrible.
As Jacob is standing there saying, like, if you die, I'm going to kill this baby. Or not saying, but he's thinking it. And Edward has to know he's thinking it. And then there's, I've been thinking about combining my mother's names, Renesmee.
Okay.
Have I actually said that baby's name? Because I think I used a bunch of fandom names for her earlier. And just a minute ago, I called her Renameable.
Renameable. Yep.
It's a fucking horrible name. I don't know. Is there another way to combine? Now, first of all, Renee is not a great mom. Okay, I get it. She's Bella's yeah. mom. Bella does love her. Okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
I have thoughts about combining people's names. I think it very, very rarely turns out well, but Renee.
I have always, yeah, so this just triggered me, right? Back in like the late 2000s when they were like melding people's names together. Yeah, Renesmee is bad.
And listen, not all of the fandom feels this way, but mm-hmm. because I have been rewatching these movies and because you and I have been talking about them in our messages and because I've been writing Google Docs about them, I'm getting a whole bunch mm-hmm. of fucking reels, Instagram and Facebook reels about Twilight. And I've gotten so many from people who are like, yeah, listen, I love this series, but I also recognize that there are really shitty, dumb, bad parts of it. And little ravioli.
ravioli.
I think I made up renameable, honestly. Resume. I think I found resume. I like resume the best, honestly.
Yeah, that one like fits really good.
But terrible, terrible names, Bella. What are you doing? Don't do this to your child. They might have to go to high school 25 times.
At least it wasn't a boy. We'd have to deal with Edward Jacob.
Well, to be fair, I feel like Bella as a boy mom would have been a very different situation. I feel like there would have been some problems in Bella and Edward's relationship if Bella had had a boy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What is our spark dulls rating? 1 is the worst, 10 is the best. How many spark dulls do you give Breaking Dawn Part 1, Manny?
2. And the only reason it got a 2 is because the soundtrack is still good. Soundtrack's still tight. So I can't give it a 1 on that account. But if the soundtrack wasn't there, it would be a fucking 1.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think I'm... I might be at like a 2.5 or a 3.
Yeah.
And I only say that because the soundtrack, actually, I think the soundtrack was the weakest so far of the 4.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
But I did like, at least they, I don't know, I didn't like it a lot. I liked Seth. I guess I liked that at the end they had the Wolf Cullens. Like they actually mm-hmm. did insert like a full-on like Wolf Cullens fight. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm trying not to be like super.
I'm sorry, right. Dude.
I think it's probably a 2.
Look, dude, that whole Paw Patrol scene was so bad that it literally just turned the vibe off for me for the rest of the fucking movie. It fucking ruined it.
I think the reason I would actually give it a 2.5, maybe a 3 Bark Dolls, is that it's funny. It's not supposed to be funny.
But it's funny, yeah.
But I was fucking amused by a lot of things. I shouldn't have been laughing at that supposedly horrific birth scene, but I was.
Yeah. Okay, so last but not least, what is your watch, read, play, please, anything but this suggestion for this episode? What you
Penny
got?
Penny Dreadful. It's got the Dracula vampire vibe. I mean, it's literally based on Penny horror stories. So it's got Dracula, it's got werewolves, it's got Frankenstein. It's based on actual Penny Dreadfuls, but it's also based on books and stuff that came out around the same time that those were popular. So yeah. Have you ever watched Penny Dreadful?
I think I did, but I don't remember because it's, I don't know.
It came out a long while ago.
Yeah, that's what I want to say. I think I did, but I don't remember. So
it doesn't have a good ending, to be honest, but the first, I want to say 2 seasons are really, really fucking good. So I always suggest it to people, especially if you've never watched it. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely worth a watch. So what about you?
I think with the comedy aspect of this film, I think you should probably just watch What We Do in the Shadows. I haven't watched the actual television show, but I watched the movie and I loved it because it was just like, okay, this is really good. Like, this is a good way to do this in comedy. So yeah, I would say watch that or watch like C-SPAN or something, you know, where you can like watch senators talk for 8 hours a day and get nothing accomplished. You know, you can do stuff like that, watch an infomercial. But yeah, I would do something else. Just do something else. You don't have to watch anything. Just go for a walk. Go to the gas station and get an orange juice. Just do something else. Don't.
Well, I mean, I don't know about gas there. Station orange. Go get some gas station milk.
Yeah, get some gas station
milk. The time that expires in like 2 days.
Yeah, exactly. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. You'll be all right, boy. Don't worry about it.
Oh, you're all right, boy.
You'll be all right, boy. Lenny.
All right. Thank you for joining us for our fourth Media That Made Us Cringe episode on Breaking Dawn Part 1. Make sure to check out our other Geek Saga show series, including Media That Made Us 90s and Naughties Cringe Factor, the Impulsive Hyper-Focus solo episodes, and more. And please do not forget to like, subscribe, or rate us 5 stars wherever you're watching or listening. And as always, we would love you to consider supporting us by backing our Patreon at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment. Our patrons have been getting our unedited, completely unedited, because I do not have time for that shit, videos like weeks earlier than we've been putting these episodes out. So you're missing out a little bit. Definitely check that out.